This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 7:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are now talking about demands for the government to boost trade with China. And this is coming as businesses want to re-strengthen trade with our biggest trading partner to help them recover from the pandemic. Because as of April this year, Malaysia recorded its first monthly trade deficit with China since 1997 at 1.5%. And while this is somewhat expected, it's also interesting given that other countries are moving away from China since COVID-19 originated there and the early impacts, I think, of the pandemic were seen. Governments want to diversify their supply chain so that they don't over rely on any one country, and this way they can avoid future disruptions to manufacturing. Currently, of course, China is a big producer of things like car parts, electronic devices and clothes. And I think we did see the after effects of those disruptions in the early days of the pandemic, or in the early days of China's lockdown. So back to sentiments here at home. Former president of the Associated Chinese Chambers of Commerce and Industry of Malaysia, Lim Kok Cheong, says that the government needs to create a friendly environment for Chinese businesses in order to attract foreign investment. Meanwhile, Tan Yu Sing, president of the Malaysia-China Chamber of Commerce, suggests that Malaysia should follow Singapore's lead and adopt fast lane measures. This means that businesses and government officials can go to select Chinese provinces for essential travel with minimal or no quarantine. And so I think that there are a few things here. We're already seeing, even when it comes to simplifying travel between countries, when it's with countries that we have close ties to, like Singapore and for that matter China, where there are frequent business trips, where there's a lot of trade conversations that usually happen, the kind of limits that are being placed on travel right now have proven to be quite problematic for businesses, I think. And that is why we are seeing this demand coming through from businesses themselves to make it a little bit easier to just smoothen those roads. But I think there are also larger considerations to be had, particularly when it comes to disruption. I think again, going back to the early days when Wuhan was on lockdown and then subsequently we saw that, you know, kind of edge out to other parts of China, we found out truly, you know, even on a consumer level, how many things were manufactured or are manufactured in China. And they're not necessarily big things, but they're important cogs in the machine. And when they weren't going out, it ended up disrupting the supply in all sorts of other areas. And so I do wonder what happens then if we continue to have an over-reliance on one country. This is also coming amidst concerns about a possible candidate for a pandemic, you know, in the form of a new swine flu virus. Although, you know, not to be alarmist, there is absolutely no proof yet of human-to-human transmission, nothing like that. But it is something that's been in the news. So I do just have some concerns or reservations about an over-reliance. But this is something that we're going to be talking about after this with David Yu, who's a finance professor at New York University in Shanghai. If you'd like to weigh in on boosting trade with China, you know, if you are part of a company that does business with China, for instance, and you'd like to share what your experiences have been like, you can let us know. That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be right back. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:11 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. This hour, we are talking about demands from businesses here for the government to boost trade with China. And if you have any thoughts on that, especially if you've been personally affected by the slowdown in trade between our two countries, or you have any questions that you'd like to throw out, you can, of course, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to David Yu, finance professor at New York University in Shanghai. David, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Could you give us an assessment of how things are like in China at the moment when it comes to trade and manufacturing? Have things gone back to normal?
Yes. So really, after COVID hit in January, February boosted back up. And obviously, PMI numbers, the manufacturing index, wasn't as strong as before COVID hit, but it went on a slowdown and it hit a regional low in April, and then it bounced back up successfully into May and June. So we're now at a good pace in a manufacturing side. In terms of the general economy overall, it's come back pretty strong. In terms of a rebound compared to what's happening in the rest of the world, it's relatively safe and there's a low occurrence of COVID cases here. So that's obviously boosted a lot of, lots of confidence overall in the general economy. You know, what's happened in the, in Beijing recently, the small outbreak that's been, now under control is actually positive signs that there's continued vigilance addressing this. So, look, it's in a good state, but we're still in a vigilant state of seeing that no more outbreaks coming out.
And let's talk about trade then between China and countries in ASEAN, particularly Malaysia. What's the situation like there?
Well, since COVID hit, China and U.S. Trade and also EU trade has fallen. And since then, Asia, the trade between China and ASEAN has increased significantly. And now, as of May, it's the largest trading partner to China, which is a vast difference compared to even a few years ago. So this kind of change of events is pretty drastic, but obviously it bodes well for what's going on in ASEAN in general.
And we're talking today about this dip that we're seeing, particularly for Malaysia. How has Malaysia been affected by this slowdown?
Well, look, I think first of all, we got to look at what the biggest products are. There's a lot of raw products that are basically exported to China, and in China, these products are used as inputs for further processing and then exported outward and used domestically. So from this aspect, the overall trade is slightly down, and obviously the markets, the output of markets are also changing, as I had just mentioned previously. So all these kind of different drivers are really affecting kind of this flow of trades between China and Malaysia. So this is something that's still in the process of, and this is something that needs to be watched vigorously as we continue going forward.
And as we know, the COVID-19 pandemic highlighted that interruptions to the supply chain in China ends up heavily impacting companies and industries around the world. Do you see this as an ongoing concern, with all the new realities that COVID-19 has brought out?
Well, it's definitely made every single manufacturer and company who's affected, who might be affected, think twice, both on terms of their input supply chain as well as their output market supplies point of view. So you, at this point, you don't want to be overly concentrated with only one supplier, for example. Now people are looking at multiple sources so that if in case there is some disruption, this won't be have a bigger effect. Likewise, on the output side, while folks have been currying for one particular segment or geographical customer base, now they're looking at other ways to diversify their customer base geographically as well as segmentation-wise, so that, you know, if there's any impact there, they can also mitigate it. This whole shock, COVID shock, is making folks really reassess how and how they do business and what how they can affect going further shocks in the system going forward.
Mm. And we're also seeing that travels between Malaysia and China, and I think between most countries right now, are at an all-time low. Do you think that reopening or establishing some sort of travel relationship would go a long way towards mending ties or towards boosting trade?
No, absolutely. Look, travel has been one way to boost relationships between countries, as well as stimulate trade between countries as well. You know, one of the things, as you have said, travel right now, international travel is only at 10% of pre-COVID levels internationally. Mm. So this is not just Malaysia, China, but this is internationally, globally, the levels we see today. And one of the things I think I've been advocating for is ways to have a health corridor or bubble, so that there could be faster uptake in terms of international flights. Because at the moment, there's a lot of quarantine issues and other restrictions, visa, et cetera, that are hindering kind of this travel business and leisure, so that people are put off. So, you know, as if you put this off for longer terms, this will have a longer effect on all of the things I just said. So I hope that this can be put in sooner rather than later between the countries.
And with everything that's happened, do you think China is going to continue to hold the dominant position that it's had over the last decade or so when it comes to trade and manufacturing with Malaysia?
There's always people who are, it's a competitive world. So there's always countries and industries that people move around and redistribute their products and their flows. So that's nothing new. And there has been, and China is not the lowest cost country anymore. It's gone up significantly. But at the same time, there are a lot of pros in the market. So both from a manufacturing point of view and an import-export point of view for the market, because of the abundance of all the connected pieces in the zone. So I think from this point, these couple of points, it's still in a good position, but people have to watch out, because there's always different angles here and different incentives that people are trying to do to get hold of this this trade diverted to other places.
And who would you say are the main competitors at this moment?
Look, let's look at the ASEAN countries, for example. Right now, one of the biggest growth aspects in terms of trade with China is Vietnam. It has seen a huge jump in the recent months compared relative to many other countries, a very big percentage jump in absolute terms as well. So this is one example. And it's a place where governments are trying to stimulate a lot of activities, et cetera. So this is just one example of one country in ASEAN that's trying to take advantage of what's going on with COVID and the less trade activity with the EU and with the US.
Coming back to what we started the conversation with, which is a call from businesses here in the country for the government to do something in order to boost bilateral trade ties, what steps do you think would be best taken? You mentioned earlier a health corridor. What else would work?
I think fundamental aspects that are always important in terms of trade. One is a clear tax and clear and low tax regime, so that it stimulates both domestic production as well as facilitate low tariffs and customs procedures, which facilitates trade between countries. So with that in place, I think that would ease a lot of hurdles for that. And vice versa, any import duties and other restrictions that will restrict kind of imports coming into Malaysia, these kind of barriers are put in place. So the lower these things the lower the barriers in terms of these items, the more trade that will facilitate. So and therefore would also have residual effects on other industries inside of Malaysia as well as in China.
And David, just in closing, you know, we have been talking about the effects of the COVID-19, but researchers in China have just discovered a new strain of swine flu across 10 provinces known as the G4 virus. And there are some concerns that it may have the potential to cause another pandemic. Is this a cause for concern at all for, well, Malaysia-China trade relations, but also China as a whole?
any potential virus, we're all very skittish for what's happening with COVID.
Yes.
So any new talk of another potential, I won't say pandemic, but other potential viral effects is scary to a lot of people. What this seems to be, initial research has shown that it's similar to the H1N1 swine flu in 2009. But the one good thing is, if it's any indication similar to that, the effects are much less than what's happening with COVID. One of the other things that has been shown initially is that this viral virus is not yet spread human to human, which is a good sign so far. But at the same time, look, everyone needs to be cautious. This could potentially mutate, as we've seen with other viral diseases, that and it could change into more effects with higher effects as it goes on. So at the end of the day, we have to be vigilant, but take the necessary precaution, but not go overboard, so that it doesn't affect trade and economic factors as already that we've experienced.
Mm, yeah, that's the balance that I think everybody is searching for. David, thank you so much for weighing in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was David Yu, finance professor at New York University in Shanghai, talking about really the state of affairs, I think, in China at this moment in time, especially when it comes to trade and manufacturing and their recovery, but also how it relates to us here in the country, because we recorded in April this year our first monthly trade deficit with China since 1997. If you have any thoughts, if you do a lot of business, or if your company does a lot of business with China, and you know you'd like to share how things have been for you, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.